What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Andrew, pleasure to be speaking with you, man. I saw the movie messed me up.
No.
In a good way. In a good way. It's very thought-provoking. I had heard about it during Sundance, but I didn't get a chance to see it at Sundance. And I kept hearing, the last 10 minutes are going to mess you up. The last 10 minutes are going to mess you up. Did not see that coming, but I don't want to go into spoilers. I want to ask you, where did the idea for the film come from? I know you also wrote it and that it was on the blacklist. So talk to me a little bit about the journey from your mind to paper to the big screen.
Well, I wrote the first draft of the script quite some time ago, but I really was hunting around for some kind of very, very primal, elemental conflict. I wanted to build a story out of something that was really universal, that anybody could understand. And I gravitated towards this idea of just a parent protecting child, because it seemed like such a fundamental conflict. And I became very interested in my own fears around parenthood and around, the inability to keep a child safe, to prevent them from harm. And I thought that was just kind of fruitful terrain to think about, to try and build a story around. And I got interested in the sort of parent vigilante or parental revenge subgenre, like Taken and movies like that. And I thought I would try and I would try and work in that arena and see if anything came of it. So that was sort of the germ of the story. But as I was trying to develop an idea and develop a character, other ideas around coercion and manipulation, abuse, trauma bonding, and gaslighting started to intrude upon the script, largely due to the fact that I had a friend who was in a very unfortunate relationship at the time with a very toxic individual. And as I was witnessing that play out firsthand, what I was learning about those relationships and the psychology behind it started to inform this script in a major way. So kind of all these various ideas and themes sort of mashed together and eventually became the script for Resurrection.
I'm glad you said gaslighting, because that's one thing that kept on popping in my head. Oh my God, he keeps on gaslighting her.
Yeah, that's a big part of the movie. It's a major effort at gaslighting. A real big swing on the part of
it. And it kept on giving me like Rosemary's Baby vibes, with like everybody trying to tell her, oh, it's okay, you know, you're fine, everything's good, nothing to see here. But it's insane in the sense that like nobody literally knows what she's going through. Why do you think at a time like this, where I guess women are starting to come forward and speak up, everything with the Me Too movement, do you think this film is important in a sense right now?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the film is important. I think it does touch on very important and timely themes. So it's up to the individual viewer to determine whether we handled that in a way that's incisive, stimulating, et cetera. But definitely issues of toxic masculinity and malignant narcissism and sociopathy at very, very present in the culture and in the media these days. And again, it addresses important issues. How well it addresses those issues will be up to the individual viewer.
Now, you scored Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth, but I want to talk about Rebecca Hall for a second. you scored her not only as an actress, but as a producer. What was it like working with her? Her filmography is nuts. I feel like everything she does, she pushes the boundaries. It's insane that she has not gotten an Oscar nomination. If there was any justice in the world, I would say she should get one for this movie, especially that monologue, which I was like freaking out, just her describing what happened to her. What was it like working with her?
It was fantastic. Working with Rebecca was just an absolute dream from start to finish. And I'm not exaggerating, and this is not PR. She was such an incredible, her talent and her professionalism and her intelligence was just such a gift to this movie. She understood the script intuitively and very deeply and knew exactly what to do at any given time. It made my job so easy because she would show up every day absolutely prepared, absolutely committed, and really what we just needed to turn the camera on and she would do the rest. And Rebecca's just a very, very sharp person, and it always felt like she was kind of one step ahead of everybody, but in a great way. So I have nothing but praise for her. She is an absolutely brilliant performer. I think there's as good as any actor working in movies today. And yeah, I hope she gets the recognition she deserves for this performance, because she really delivers.
And then she's a director now, so I'm imagining she probably had director brain while she was standing in front of the camera. Are there any particular moments you could think of where she added something that wasn't in the script to the performance that elevated it?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to think of anything specific where it really took me by surprise. I'm sure she did, but I'm always just terrible at plucking these details from my memory. But what she did is take elements of the script that I just wasn't sure if they were going to work, that seemed either lines or moments or the monologue that you described, which really seemed like a very dangerous thing to do, especially in a thriller. And I was always so worried. I would be like, oh, is this going to work? Is that going to work? And she would come and she would find a way to make it work. She would just find a way into whatever moment or whatever line of dialogue. And she knew how to translate that into something that was going to be effective dramatically and feel natural. And so we would just marvel at that day after day, the way she just took the material and performed it as I would hope, but then would always elevate it in her own inimitable way. So I don't know if that quite answers your question, but that's how it worked.
No, for sure. For sure. I totally get what you're saying. Now, on the subject of Tim Roth, who, the more I think about it, I feel like he doesn't really say much in this, but just from his actions, you get like the incredible sense of who he is. And from obviously Rebecca Hall's character, what she says about him. Did you need to do much directing? Talk to me about directing or not directing Tim Roth. How was that?
Yeah, well, Tim, he had a kind of a somewhat different approach from Rebecca. Rebecca would kind of show up and, you know, the first take was amazing. She would be ready to go. Where Tim had a much kind of looser, more improvisatory approach. He kind of liked to find it a little bit more as we're going along, which is totally great. But, you know, in terms of directing, I mean, in terms of directing either Rebecca or Tim, I mean, I'm sure I nudged them in certain directions. I'm sure I gave them adjustments from time to time. But really, they're so brilliant and they're so experienced that you have to do very, very little as a director. You know, with each one of them, you can just give them a word or even a gesture. And they're just like, oh, yeah, got it. And then can turn it around and deliver. The thing with Tim was really interested in, and I shared this interest, really interested in playing this character not as someone who was just, you know, a mustache twirling villain the whole time. He wanted to play this character as if he was the romantic hero of his own story. He was the protagonist. He was someone who was the sane one, the one who grasped this situation most clearly and was a kind of, was doing the right thing by himself, the right thing by Margaret Rebecca's character, by everybody. And so he didn't want to project malevolence and menace all the time, because, you know, evil people don't conceive of themselves as evil people. And so he wanted to play, I remember Tim saying, I just want to play this guy nice. I think it'll be scarier that way. And I agreed. And that's kind of how he did it. And so it's a sort of low key performance, but I think more frightening for it.
Totally. I could not agree more. I can't imagine the character being played any other way, because I don't think it would work as well. And it gave me chills, because I've spoken to Tim Roth and he's such a nice guy in real life. So it's insane.
He's a very, he's a very exuberant guy.
Yeah. Now the ending, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's definitely one of those that's open to interpretation. What do you hope that people take away?
Well, with regards to the ending, it is, as you say, it is open to interpretation. It's an intentionally ambiguous ending. And so it's not something like there is a right and wrong interpretation. It's not a riddle. It's not meant to be solved. I'm hoping people experience that ending and find it satisfying dramatically, have a sense of catharsis, a sense of that this character has arced. And so it takes on an emotional logic that makes sense to them. But in terms of what precisely happens at the end, I encourage an audience member to take away whatever is most compelling, interesting, and satisfying to them. I have my own way of viewing it, but I don't want to apply that and insist that other people look at it in the same way. I tend to kind of feel like the ending of the movie is a tragic ending, but other people view it and see it as a very happy and redemptive ending, and that's fine too. So I just hope that people walk away from that ending and feel it's worth thinking about, worth talking about, and feels earned. But it is a bit of a polarizing ending. Some people won't feel that way, but that's okay too. That's baked in.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for letting me see this film. I cannot wait for everybody to see this and talk about it, because I do think it's gonna stir up the film community quite a bit. I wish you the best of luck on everything else that you have coming out in the future, whatever that may be.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get 3 seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.